the year 2022. I have brought 16 messages on the devil. We have examined this year his origin, his fall, his influence, his mission, its purpose, and everything in between. Today, I'm going to bring the 17th and the last lesson in this series on the devil. And I want to speak this morning on this subject, the destiny of the devil. Let me ask you to turn now to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. The book of Revelation depicts a war. It is a war between God and the devil. It is a war between the forces of heaven and all of the evils of hell. It is a war that is described to us in a highly symbolic language. It is a war that all of us are familiar with because as Christians we are engaged in this war, a spiritual warfare. And this war is raging all around us. So throughout the entire book of Revelation, you have this war described in highly figurative language. Until finally we come to Revelation chapter 20. And in Revelation chapter 20, God shows to us the end of this war. On the last day, on the day of judgment, God says, this is how this war will end. Revelation chapter 20, one verse, verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's how the war will end. The devil will be punished. He will be removed as a threat. And his two allies at that particular time, described in verse 10 as the beast and the false prophet, they have already been punished. From this single verse, I want to share with you this morning three very critical observations. Very critical observations that are pretty clearly seen in this verse. I want you to note with me the first observation, and that's this. In this verse, God shows to us the final outcome of the war. God shows to us the final outcome of this war. Look at verse 10 again. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, brethren, because of this verse, we already know who wins. The outcome of this war is not something that is in the air, and we're not certain of how it ends. God wins. And as his people, we win. Now, I realize today, you may look around at what your physical eye can see, and you may reason with your mind based on what your eyes see that the devil isn't losing, the devil is winning, but I'm telling you, the devil loses. Look at verse 10. It says he is thrown into the lake of fire. The word thrown in that verse is a word of expression. It is expressing the devil's rejection, and it is expressing the devil's punishment. The devil is going to be rejected, and the devil is going to be punished. Brethren, listen to me. Here, God is showing us the final outcome of this war. Listen to me. The devil loses. So, why should I want to align my life with the devil? He loses. If I align my life with him, I'm backing the loser. The devil loses. That means that God wins. So why shouldn't I want to align my life with God? That's who's winning here. I asked you this morning, why would anyone, and let's make it more personal than that, why would you want to align yourself with the things of the devil? Sin, unrighteousness, selfishness, greed, unfaithfulness, unforgiveness. Why would you want to align yourself with the things of the devil? And why wouldn't you want to align yourself with the things of God? Faithfulness, righteousness, and holiness. Brethren, listen to me. If you take your life and if you ignore God, you are going to lose. And yes, it is that simple. That is going to be the final outcome of the battle of good and evil, of God and Satan, of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, of the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. That's how this thing is going to end. So why would you back the devil in this war? If you ignore God, you lose. It is that simple. Don't complicate what's simple. Now listen to me. And for the next several minutes, I need you to listen to this close, because I'm going to bring the application to us but I first must make the primary application of the passage. In that verse, Revelation 20:10, God shows to us the outcome of the war. Now, why does God do that? Why does he show us the outcome of this? Why not keep this a secret? Why are you showing this to us? Now let's first answer that question based on its primary context of the people to whom the book of Revelation was written to. This is why God is revealing who's going to win this. In the book of Revelation, there are two primary individuals who are the enemy. They are described in verse 10 as the beast and the false prophet. In Revelation 13 and in verse 1, there is a beast that rises up from the sea. That beast is described as having great power and having great authority and having a name that is blasphemous. We understand that beast to be the Roman emperor of the time that Revelation was written, a man by the name of Domitian. His name is Domitian. When you get home, Google him. Because if you Google him now, a beast will appear from this pulpit down on that floor. Domitian, the Roman emperor at the time of the writing of Revelation, he had a god complex. He passed a decree to the whole Roman Empire that he must be addressed by everyone as Lord and God. Lord and God. In Revelation 13, there is another beast that rises up from the earth. This second beast has little power and little authority, but it says that this second beast enforces the worship of the first beast, Domitian. This beast, the second one that rises up from the earth, is then called a false prophet. And it's called a false prophet all the way through the end of the book of Revelation. Now we understand the earth, the beast from the earth, the second beast, they made up the committee that enforced emperor worship. So here is what you must do if you live during the turn of the first century in the Roman Empire when the book of Revelation was written. Everybody in the empire had to go to the capital of the province in which they lived. They would take a pinch of incense, they would put it on the altar and say, Caesar, that is the emperor, is Lord. Well, the Christians couldn't do that. Jesus is Lord. So they refused to do that. Now, because of their refusal to do that, they were persecuted. Their property was confiscated from them. Listen to me. Everything they own was taken away from them. Everything. They were not allowed to go to the marketplace. In this first century, the marketplace was the hub of activity. Everybody went to the marketplace because that's where you could buy what you needed, sell what you had, and trade. So food, everything took place at the marketplace. But the Christians were not allowed to go to the marketplace. And these Christians were being killed in horrific, horrific ways. Now, these brethren had no army to fight for them. They had no resources to resist all of this that was coming down on them because they wouldn't worship the emperor. We're there. God reveals to them the outcome of this war with the devil and his two allies, the beast and the false prophet. God reveals the outcome of this to these brethren, listen to me, and God reveals the outcome of the war to you and I in order that you and I will understand that regardless of how difficult the Christian life becomes, we must remain faithful. We must remain faithful. The outcome of this war is being revealed to us so that they and so that we would understand, regardless of how difficult it is to be a Christian at home, regardless of how difficult it may be to be a Christian at work, regardless of how difficult it may be to be a Christian in the marketplace or in the community, we must remain faithful to God. God is showing us the final outcome of this war. Why does God do that? Because God wants us to know if we don't stay faithful, we don't make it. If we don't remain faithful, we don't make it. You say, but look, preacher, because of my marriage, because of my boss, because of my this, preacher, it's hard. Listen, talk to them about how hard it is. You tell them how hard your life is. If the government came and kicked in your front door and took everything away from you that you owned, including the house you live in, if the government kicked down these doors and lined us up against the wall and said, "You deny Jesus or you die," I tend to think that might thin the crowd out some. Listen, it's hard. I'm not making light of the fact that it isn't. And depending on what your situation is at home and at work and with your family, Lord God, bless our families. But regardless of that situation, we're gonna win. You're gonna win. God is showing us the outcome of this war because he wants us to know whatever you got to do to get faithful to the end, you just do it and we'll rejoice about it forever. Observation number one, God gives us the final outcome of this war. Well, it looks to me like that don't matter. That don't matter. The devil is losing. Observation number two, get this down. In this single verse, God not only reveals to us the final outcome of this war, but in this verse, God shows to us the final outcome of the devil. the final outcome of the devil. Look at verse 10 again. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and he will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, listen to me. That is not the image that most of us have. It isn't. The image that most people have is God is in charge of heaven, and the devil is in charge of hell. And the image that most people have is that the devil is the chief supervisor in hell, and that he's going to take delight in tormenting everybody who goes there. But that verse doesn't allow us to hold that position. In hell, the devil isn't the tormentor. He is the tormented. In hell, the devil isn't handing out the punishment, he's receiving the punishment. The devil's not in charge. Are you hearing me? God is in charge. God is in charge on earth. God is in charge of heaven. And bless God, God is in charge of hell. And the devil's not in charge of any of it now. Here is the destiny of the devil. No hope, no savior. No hope, no savior. In Matthew 25, Jesus opens up the judgment scene from verses 31 through 46. In Revelation 20, if you keep reading, the judgment scene is opened up there. But in Matthew 25, Jesus' account of the judgment is opened up. When he will return with his mighty angels, everybody will be separated, a sheep from the goat. Nobody will be on the fence. You're going to be on one side of it or another. In that depiction of the judgment scene, Jesus said in Matthew 25 and in verse 41, he said that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, what does that mean? Here's what that means. That means that hell was primarily for the devil and his angels. And in hell, the devil and his angels will have priority in that lake of fire. But the Bible teaches just as clearly that those who will also occupy hell will be those who have rejected God and those who at one time embraced God and then became unfaithful. Primarily for the devil and his angels. But its occupants are clearly also described as those who reject God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. To those who are in trouble, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, and they will be punished with everlasting destruction. The occupants of hell will be those who reject God. But the occupants of hell will be those who embraced God and then became unfaithful to him. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus is writing to the church at Smyrna. And Jesus says to them, they are being persecuted. All hell is being rained down on them. And Jesus said, Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death and you'll receive a crown of life. But that's not how it's properly translated. What Jesus said to them is, you be faithful in view of death and you'll receive a crown of life. In other words, they're going to persecute you. And if it's death or faithfulness, you stay faithful and let them kill you. Now that was 95 AD. 2022, if it snows 40 flakes, 35 members stay home. Folk who are lost, listen to me. If you are lost, you will be side by side, the devil and every demon he's got, suffering with them. You don't like to be around evil people? You better straighten your act up, then. Clearly, we don't understand the importance of faithfulness. Clearly. Observation number 3. In that verse, Revelation 20:10, Jesus shows us the final outcome of the war. The devil loses. In that verse, Jesus shows us the final outcome of the devil. Tormented day and night. Number 3. What this verse begs is this. Don't you ever, ever give up believing in hell. Don't you ever give up believing in hell. Now, let me tell you why I'm saying that. The reason I'm saying that is because many have. Many have. Statistics are more than alarming. They're even more than amazing. People believe in heaven, but they don't believe in hell. Look at verse 10. Tormented day and night. Well, that'd be about 24 hours, wouldn't it? I mean, when it isn't day, it's night, and when it's not night, it's day. Day and night forever and ever. Tormented day and night forever and ever. Listen, hell is forever. Hell is forever. There's no intermission, there's no halftime, and there's no end. But you know what we've done? Come on now. Come on. Do this. You know what we've done? We have taken and we have reshaped what God has said. We have. So here's what we say. Nice people will go to heaven. Hell is for Hitler. Hell is for child molester. Hell is for rapists. Hell is for the devil. But nice people go to heaven. Well, what's wrong with that is that you can be nice and ignore God. Listen, Lord have mercy. We're not going to heaven because we're nice. Because we're not nice. We're not going to heaven because we're good. We're not good. Say, so, well, I'm good. Now you're arrogant. We are going to heaven because we follow God. We are going to heaven because we obey God. We are going to heaven because God is the very core and center of our lives. We are going to heaven by the grace of God. That's why we're going. And if you think you're going for your good because you're good, you're going to be shocked. Don't you ever give up believing in hell. Now, I'm just going to tell you what we've done. We have taken and we have softened God's message on hell. That's what we've done. We have softened God's message on hell. You go to a funeral now. Look, mean as the devil. Mean as the devil. He wouldn't have spit on you when he was alive, and it could be a her, but I'm saying him. And somebody will get up there and preach him into heaven. Listen, we preachers can't preach anybody into heaven or hell. That's way above my pay grade. But we've taken that message and we have softened that message. Look at verse 10 one more time. Look at verse 10 one more time. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are. If you back the devil, you're going to end up where his two allies went with him. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now look at me. That verse is the destiny of the devil. That's it. That's the destiny, the end. It is the end of the devil. It is the end of his work. It will be the end of his influence, and it will be the end of temptation. The end. And I say goodbye and good riddance. Now understand this last thing. God is showing us all of this so that we won't go to hell. Now, there may be people all over the world and in third world countries and everywhere else who can plead ignorance. But there is nobody who's been in this room for the last 35 minutes is going to plead ignorant to God. If you slept through this, you got enough of it. God is showing us all this because we don't have to go to hell. Listen, the reality is that God doesn't send anybody to hell. Our choices do that. Our choice to become a Christian or not become a Christian, that's what does it. Our choice after we are Christians to become faithful or not faithful, that's what does it. The problem in the first century was persecution. The problem now is a pandemic that's become an ally of the devil. Well, I don't know about that. Well, then maybe I should say it again. The devil will use whatever he can to get you away and to keep you away. But if Fox goes to hell, Fox put himself there with his choices. Everybody right now is about to make a choice. Everybody. You are about to choose whether you're going to submit to God and obey the gospel, or you're going to walk out like you came in. You are about to make a choice of whether you are now going to repent and repair your life, or if you're going to walk out like you come in. That choice is going to determine your eternity. This is on us. This is on us. And I'm telling you, I get enough of the devil here without going somewhere and standing next to him, screaming with him forever. So it's decision time. It's decision times. Well, I'm not ready to make a choice. Then that's your choice. But you are going to choose. And you are going to choose right now, as together we stand and as we